This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Run like a wild man.
I want you to struggle and I want you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Jared. Chuma Okeke. And my guy, Bryce Brown. Shooting that thing from way downtown. Jared.
The correct Jordan Harris Stadium time is 8:17 p.m. Your digital audio device is tuned to the Orange and True podcast, brought to you cordially by the good folks at Champs Chicken, harbored by collegeandmagnolia.com. I am Son of Crow, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter, at Son of Crow on Venmo. To one side of me, amateur statistician, grill engineer, Ryan Starrett.
Has anybody got a wedding to go to Friday night?
It's at Ryan S. Starrett. To the other side of me giving you that full Fort Payne ASMR, got gum in his mouth, so you're going to hear some good times of the Fort Payne ASMR. A man who has seen 311 10 times, and that was from a couple of weeks ago, but I still like that. It's Chief.
I just bought tickets to see him again this summer.
Nice! At AU Chief. A man who really likes white reggae rap. Is AU Chief. Greetings, Orange and Truthers. Tonight, talk a little bit basketball. We're going to talk a little baseball, maybe?
Of course.
I mean, if we get there.
We're going to do Champs Chumps. We're probably not going to give you the defensive football lineup.
That's fine. But you gave it up for Lynn.
I gave up talking about football for Lynn. But first.
We can talk about Joey G for like 2 seconds later.
Maybe. Well, I'm not going to talk about it.
We'll talk about it.
But first, Chief, Ryan wants to do trivia.
No. Don't sweep it under the rug.
What are you talking about?
The breaking
the big
story
thing
of the hit song?
You probably just heard it.
Superstar Son of Crow.
I feel like Max from Rushmore. Like, I wrote a hit play.
We're with a modern-day T-Will.
Sure. He's also a modern-day T-Will. Well. So another modern-day. So
he's actually our same age. He's around our age as well.
What they're saying is that Crow will be an assistant coach. Yeah. On track to become the defensive coordinator in about 10 years.
I've been named a recruiting analyst, so I don't know.
Crow, known for his recruiting, just meticulous recruiting.
Auburn will offer only guys from East Texas high schools.
Alter ego, a nerd.
But how's it feel? How you feeling?
Guys, it was wild. It was wild today when I got thousands of Twitter notifications. I almost had to turn notifications off on my phone for Twitter.
It was pretty wild just being in the proximity, just in the orbit.
You know how they say that you get like a dopamine hit? So like one of the social media analysts and like people who talk about this, talk about how bad it is. Yeah, because it's got this, it's like taking drugs. You get this little dopamine hit every time you get a like or a retweet or whatever.
Right.
At one point today, I had to pull into the Kroger parking lot because I was driving because I was shaking. Because I was so happy. I never that happened for my life. Like, it was like.
This was probably about the time that we found out Chuma was.
It was the exact time. No, that was.
Posting it on Instagram.
I looked it up on the Instagram story, and that's when I was like, I gotta pull over.
Not just Chuma. Chuma was putting it on his Instagram story and actually singing it.
Yeah, and my guy Bryce Brown, shooting that thing from way downtown.
But everybody was in there singing, laughing, enjoying.
Yeah. Incredible. It's like, day I got married, birth of my daughter.
The day Chuma Okeke was
singing Chuma Okeke singing my song on Instagram. It's like right
it's
up
pretty
there.
Big. Possible future Maverick, Chuma Okeke.
Oh, if Chuma Okeke gets drafted by the Mavericks or goes to play for the Mavericks, I will record a completely different song about Luka and Chuma and their new best friend. Yeah, and Chris Stops. Man, what a great three-headed monster that would be. Anyway,
go listen to the song.
Go listen to the song.
Shout out to Booski, by the way. She made that video for us.
Yeah, awesome. I don't know if she listens to the pod, sure.
Yeah, maybe.
She's got it.
We'll get her on here one day. Future friend of the pod.
Future friend of the pod.
Future friend of the pod.
I like that. I like the positive attitude.
You know who else needs to be on the pod? Is Josh Dubb.
I was going to say Chumo Kiki.
And Chumo Kiki.
But
this is the unofficial Chumo Kiki
the podcast. Official unofficial
Chumo This is the official unofficial Chumo Kiki podcast. Orange and True is the official podcast of Auburn Twitter.
Yeah.
Don't at me, but none of these other podcasts keep it up like we do. None of them keep it 100.
Quite a few popping up lately.
Yeah. A lot of imitators.
Yeah.
None of them are as real as Orange and True.
No. Often imitated, never replicated.
I don't know if those other ones play the serial theme music in the middle of a podcast.
I don't know if any of them have the hot
no.
conspiracy theories.
No.
That we have here.
None.
Those are for the group chat only.
If you're just tuning in and you're a beat writer that may have decided
don't listen to
tune in,
the old stuff. I've only said good
We've
things.
We've only about said Brandon great Marcello. Things about all these people.
Well, I have only said good things about all of them.
I am a neutral observer.
Chief.
What?
Chief is here to get stirred, get the pot stirred. He's a pot stirrer.
Look.
He's a habitual pot stirrer.
Habitual line
He's
stepper.
A habitual line stepper.
Well, maybe.
Ryan, Dave Chappelle was a comedian.
Yeah.
And he had a show. And anyway. He got too famous and he quit. But yeah. On the show, Habitual Line Stepper was a thing that was said.
By Charlie.
The two seasons of that show.
The greatest two seasons
of TV.
Yeah.
There's three, but the third season was like a one they put together after things.
The thing I learned today. You know what other show only had two seasons but feels like it had 20? The
Earth
Monsters.
Two. Oh.
There's only two seasons of The Monsters.
Well,
but it was 70 episodes.
Yeah, okay, back then. So that's like Transformers, the original.
Right.
There's like two seasons of that. But there's like 240 episodes or
yeah.
something stupid. Like
that. Ryan, save it with some trivia.
The Transformers.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I saw those movies.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
Right, okay.
You know the most unbelievable part of Transformers is? Not
Shia
the fact.
LaBeouf saving the day?
No.
Whoa.
Not the fact that robots are cars and aliens. The fact that Megan Fox fell in love with Shia LaBeouf. That's
I don't know, because she married
also
Brian Austin Green.
The fact that she was a high school student.
Well,
that was
okay. Like, that was very unbelievable.
That girl's 30 years old.
All right,
go
well,
ahead
with your
questions.
Trivia time. So, Crow, earlier this week you were on the Rock Chalk Talk podcast, right?
Yeah.
With the Kansas guys.
And Man of Leisure. I'm a content farmer.
He does everything. You were talking about how Auburn is, like, historically the worst SEC program.
We're bad.
I'm almost sure that's true.
I don't think we're the worst.
Well, it's a trivia question tonight. Only one SEC program has an all-time losing record in basketball.
It's not us.
Who is it?
Jeez Louise.
South Carolina. Or Vandy.
This isn't just conference games. This is
Vandy has been
This is all-time
pretty
basketball
good.
Ever.
Vandy has been really good in the last 20 years.
Yeah, they might have picked it back
I think
up.
It might be South Carolina.
Yeah. Because they used to be
real bad.
And they used to be in an ACC type conference.
You going to lock it in with
something? Or is it Tulane? What are we?
Oh, right.
Current SEC program.
Oh, okay.
Is it Georgia?
Oh.
They've been pretty horrible.
Now, we got to think about who's asking the question, too, because this would be right up the question asker's alley.
Yeah, exactly. Anti-Georgia lobbyist. Right. It's not going to be Mississippi State.
No, yeah. Well, Mississippi State's pretty good.
Well, because Ryan's
Ryan loves him. I'll go with South Carolina.
I'm going to go with South Carolina.
Ole Miss.
Really?
Wow, the school up north.
Yeah, TSUN. They were one game away from
under
500 as of 2 years ago, and then they were terrible in 2017. So now they are two games under 500.
How are we not?
We're like fourth from the bottom of that list.
I'm going to read you guys.
We're over 500, though. I looked at
it.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Everybody is.
I only looked at that. I only know that because I looked at today. Our overall record's not horrible.
Right.
It's not terrible.
You guys talk about this. I'm going to look something up.
Okay.
So there was, apparently there was a time where there were ties in basketball. Do you know that?
No way.
There are, of the 14 SEC programs, like
are they still shooting into peach baskets?
Four all-time ties, I think. Auburn has one of them.
They threw up a stat. They threw up a stat on the screen during the tournament this week that showed a team that had ties, and I was like, I was really confused for a second, and then it was gone, and I don't even remember what team it was.
Auburn is like 1,300 to 1,101.
It must have been in peach baskets.
Yeah. Still that was probably back when 1906. You know, it was 0-0 or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
1936. Basketball first appeared at the Olympics. Okay. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. USA won the gold medal. USA all the way. We played in the gold medal match. Canada. The final score of that game was 19-8. And it was almost rained out because they played it outside. So it wouldn't shock me if there was a rain out tie.
Yeah.
In the early days. Like an NC State game, only scored 19 points.
19-8.
Man, white people are really bad at sports.
No comment. Listen, guys, in 2013, I put this on Twitter that 2013 basketball only had 14 wins and the football team had 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So 14 wins in 2013.
Right.
12-13, we had 9 wins. Okay. 2011, we had 15 wins. The year before that, we had 11 wins. We had 9 wins. Well, let's go back to that real quick. That's a bad football season at Auburn. Or a football season that gets people the mad. Realists and the pumpers mad at each other. 9-win season is not a season that you go, oh, we got a 9-win year. That's pretty good.
It's like Tony Barbie's fourth year?
Barbie's first year, we went 11-20.
Mm.
4-12 in the conference.
Let me tell you a quick tidbit about myself.
His third year was 9-23.
Every single year that Tony Barbie was here, except for his last, I thought, this could be the year we can make it back to the tournament.
Auburn lost to College of Charleston.
Poor soul.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, Auburn was so bad. Like, that year, 3-15 in conference, 14th in the conference, 312th out of 347 Division I teams.
We were not good. Tony Barbie was a terrible coach. I don't feel...
It's not going out of much of a limb.
Hot takes from Chief.
I don't feel like that, yeah. That I'm a...
Former Auburn assistant coach Frankie Sullivan led the team with 443 points produced. The next highest guy was 277. Kristen's name was Rob Chubb.
Oh, everyone's yeah, favorite. My man have a good YK.
Late night Chubb.
Late night Chubb. The following year, 14-16. The following year, a guy named Bruce Pearl came in.
You know, I've tailgated with Rob Chubb in an away game twice now.
You know, Bruce only won 11 games his second year. People forget that.
No, I remember.
It did not look good.
It was not. It was
the year Taj just busted up his shoulder.
First year was 15. Second year was 11.
One of them, yeah.
What was one year he put like 5 games?
Yeah.
That was the year I wanted Nick Marshall point guard.
Then all of a sudden, guys, that would have been a really good idea, actually. 2016-17.
Mm-hmm.
A freshman by the name of Jared Harper steps in. Take point guard. And we have not looked back. Yep. 18 wins that year.
You know that was Bruce's first year not making the tournament as a head coach, don't you?
His first year coaching year?
Yeah.
Wow.
He made the tournament every year, everywhere he went before.
I'm surprised we didn't get an NIT offer in 16-17.
Because we lost to Missouri in the first round of the conference tournament.
Yeah.
After we had beaten them literally the game before.
That was a horrible game. Guys, let's talk about a good game. Let's talk about Kansas.
No!
Let's get over with the bad first.
Yeah, let's talk about the time that Auburn went in and won a tournament game against Chex Notes. The University of Kansas Jayhawks.
Skipping
it was
the
up by 26 points.
Buddy, that was something. I've been told I was emitting an I quote, unattractive laugh during this game.
You're a little serial killer.
I cannot tell you how quiet I was having to be to not wake up my wife and baby.
I was trying to be very quiet, but...
Man.
This was a fun game to watch at a wedding. Because it was an Auburn wedding. There were several people there with me.
Yeah,
and there was free alcohol.
So you watched the game at the wedding.
Okay. I watched the first half.
So here's the thing. You can see the game, and we still win.
Right.
You just have to be dressed in a suit.
I just got to be at the wedding.
Yeah. I think you just get dressed in a suit and go hang out at the Civic Center in Opelika.
Nerd
is going to a wedding here. Nerd has been saying he's got a rehearsal dinner.
I told
Friday
him
night.
To tell his wife she's got to stay home. He's got his plus one.
I don't know if rehearsal dinners count.
I would say it counts.
Sure, it counts.
People get
if you're getting married Friday within 3 hours of Auburn, let's say.
Yes.
You're literally in a Friday wedding.
That's true.
You just said, or not in it. You went to a Friday wedding.
That was a Saturday game.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're right. You're right.
Then when did you get married on a Friday?
Though? I did. I got married on a Friday.
It's weird. Chief did it.
Hey, AU family tweeted my video, and
they
credited me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think.
Turning over a new leaf.
I'd like them to delete that. So, just letting you know. I got reasons.
I don't know if they're going
to
listen.
If you listen to this, hey, family, sure. I'm sure you're a nice guy in real life, but I need you to delete my content.
All right. Jake, you know everybody, right?
Nope. No comments.
Just passing?
Jake.
Okay.
All right. This game, from an advanced stat standpoint, was almost more dominant than the scoreboard.
I believe it.
Yeah. Auburn beat the
old eye test. Off of tells me the same thing.
The old eye test. My Ohio State friend uses that in such sarcasm.
No.
Oh, the eye test?
Look, any game where you have Bryce start 4-4 from three.
5-5, did he not?
I think he was 5-6. Okay. He missed the fifth one.
I sent this
but
in
still,
the group.
That's wild.
He hit 7.
Auburn scored 28, its 28th point with like 10 minutes to go first half.
I wanted to score 100 in this game.
We were on pace to it. They just let up.
And Kansas didn't score its 28th point until like 2 minutes into the second half. Guys, I told you the knockout was 12 minutes to go in the game. Austin Wiley had a made layup. Yeah. That's it. Kansas never outscored that point of the game. 12 minutes left in the game. We could have quit the game right there. Auburn wins 76-75. Instead, Auburn gets a 89-75 victory.
We're going to score 90 points on the Kansas Jayhawks. I don't care how bad of a Jayhawks team it is.
And we put the walk-ons in.
Over a team?
Yeah, Cole Blackstock was in for a minute.
Cole Blackstock played against Kansas.
Guys, this is, and I talked about this on that Kansas podcast. This is Auburn's 10th tournament trip in school history. Kansas is in the midst of a 30-year streak. They have been to the NCAA tournament 30 years in a row. It's true. We're 10 years in. No, we're two years in.
We're 2 years into our 30-year streak.
30 years. That's a blue blood. 30 years of not having to worry about their NIT.
There was a whole lot of disinterest in this game for their fans. Like a ton.
Yeah. Chamberlain went to Kansas. Chamberlain.
Yeah.
The guy who gets no... like goat conversation,
but
love,
probably
but probably is.
Yeah,
we're not talking about Neville Chamberlain. Right?
No.
Okay, not
Neville,
not the appeaser.
No, we're talking about the still, a man who Dirk Nowitzki just passed in all-time scoring for the NBA, which made me like relook at Will Chamberlain. 50 rebounds in a game—that's a record that'll never be touched. 50 points a game for a season.
Didn't they have to legalize the dunk for Wilt?
They made it illegal in college
for
Wilt because of Wilt. And they legalized it, or the NBA just didn't illegalize it. Yeah. They decriminalized it.
Man.
Anyway, so let's look at the Kansas game. The Kansas game, it still blows my mind. So Derek Lawson, he was the key to the game for Kansas. Mm. Everyone kept saying that. His defensive rating was a 130, as was his offensive rating.
That is...
So he played really good on offense and really lousy on defense.
Most of that offense was in the second half.
Yeah, he scored 21 points, and I think...
He scored 25 points.
25 points. All but two were in the second
half? Yeah, I looked down at one point, and 10 minutes into the game, he was 0 for 4 from the field with, like, two fouls.
They could not hit a shot in that first half either.
No, and Derek Lawson, as good of a player as he was... did not look athletic, didn't look fast. He looked like, here's a guy who is just, they had to hide him. They literally hid him on defense playing a triangle and two against Auburn's two guards.
Which, are we going to talk about that a little bit? About how they haven't played that in a long time and we prepared for it for some reason? And thanks to Stephen Pearl?
I'm sure we prepared for it because Auburn's coaching staff was like, look,
this is the only thing that
they think they can probably do.
That's probably right.
And literally after the game, they asked McLemore, what did you see? And he said, they don't run back on defense. So we knew we were going to have to kick them in transition.
And we, boy, did we.
Boy, did we.
Yeah, there was a story out, I guess, earlier today. Was it Ferg or?
Brandon Marcello.
Please. Oh, B-Mar, okay. So it was essentially talking about that strategy that Kansas just hasn't done in years, but it's a Bill Self kind of staple from years gone by.
Yeah.
And Stephen Pearl specifically was running the game plan for that.
The triangle two is so, like, it's incredibly tough to coach.
I wonder if that was a miscalculation.
Maybe, because you got a bunch of freshmen, you had a week to put that in.
Right.
Not even, a couple of days. A
couple of days.
To put that in.
I imagine they were preparing for Auburn.
Maybe.
During their first round.
But the reason why a triangle and two is so tough is because it requires a ton of switches. Because you're playing zone with three guys and you're manning out two guys.
Yeah.
So those three guys have to be just covering a ton of ground and trapping and helping and just always just moving. So you end up with open shooters if you're not doing it correctly, which is exactly what happened. Bryce was wide open.
It sounds like a more athletic offense would be a bad idea to play that against.
But if they think only two guys can beat us,
right?
It's what you do.
Yeah.
I coached a game in the Northeastern European Council of International Schools tournament one time, JV girls basketball game. We had one girl who could beat the other team. We came out, and the opposing team played a box and one against us, which is the same thing.
Yeah, same things.
A zone with four, man-to-man on one. And, guys, we were not prepared for that defense whatsoever. And went in at halftime, and I had to quickly draw up, hey, here's what they're doing. She can't have the ball until she's ready to score. So, but Auburn had prepared for this, and so we were able to really, really take advantage.
I mean, exploited the crap out of it.
They were not like my JV girls basketball team. Coach much better than them.
Shout out to whoever made the call. I know Steven got them ready for it, but whoever decided this is what we need to play. I mean, God.
I mean, I'm sure Bruce like gives credit to everybody but himself.
Right.
Which is kind of a Bruce tick. Like, it's kind of one of his things. But at some point,
Bruce
made that call.
Right.
Bruce showed Steven the dude. Like, there's a reason why.
At the very least, you raised the guy.
On the Kansas podcast, they asked if it was going to be a coaching mismatch.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not Bruce Pearl is not a slouch with X's and O's. Auburn has scored.
I don't know why he gets.
Because transition.
He's won at places that do not get the top talent. That is a good coach.
Well, Half Court Hoops, one of my favorite, at Half Court Hoops on Twitter. He doesn't listen to me. He doesn't follow. But he's a basketball coach, and he posts cut-ups of great plays on Twitter. And mostly NBA, but some college, especially the tournament. And he'll do it during games. He'll have a cut-up immediately of a set that Kentucky ran. And then, like, weeks ago, that same set in a different game. And somebody made some comment about how Auburn is not very creative on offense. It's just that we jack up a bunch of threes. And he was like, that's completely untrue. Like, that is not the case at all. They're just a good transition team. And the guy was like,
sometimes we make too many passes. I don't know. I don't understand how anybody could think that we just run down and jack up threes.
So then
that
he posts
the case several years ago.
He would post several tweets and like, not a great set from Bruce Pearl. It's like this amazing set. And then actually like another terrible play by Bruce. It's like this very intricate set. They got Jared Harper backdoor cut. First play of the game out of the shoot against Kentucky was a 2-point backdoor cut by Jared Harper on a super motion intricate like old school offense. That you know they put that in for those first 2 points.
Yeah.
I like to say this is an extremely well-coached team.
Yeah.
With experience. And experience at the guard. And Ryan, like, that's like the thing you need.
And that's what you've talked about it before. We have a 3-year starter, junior at point guard, and Bryce, a senior at the two. We have more experience than basically any team at the guard.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the we'll get into this in a little bit, but we're going to face a team with a more talented point guard than we have. But he's
for the second game in a row.
But he's not has zero experience compared to.
I mean, Devin Dotson.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Number 20 recruit in the country last year, out of Providence Day in Charlotte, North Carolina. I mean, he looked lost against Jared at times. Jared got him in foul trouble. Like it was. Yeah, Jared, he had 5 fouls. He fouled out of the game. Jared Harper got him all in his kitchen.
Yeah.
His defensive rating was 126. Now, nobody's defensive rating on Kansas is going to be good. He scored darn near 90.
Yeah.
He could have scored 1,000.
I mean, it really felt like, I really wanted to score 100 so bad.
But, Akbaji? I can't say his name.
Beats me.
Ojai Akbaji.
Not gonna
work
here anymore.
Starts for Kansas, and he's a guard, number 30. He is one of their guys that was hurt early in the year, and that's why New Mexico State only lost him by 3. Anyway, Akbaji had an offensive rating of 54.
Man, that's
not gonna get it done. Again, offense rating high is good. Defensive rating low is good.
I felt like they did nothing. Their bigs did nothing.
30% of all their plays went to Derek Lawson, Dedrick Lawson.
Yeah.
30%. Every single time with the cord, one out of every three times, he got the rock. To put that in perspective, here are Auburn's usage percentages. 26 for Javon, 25 for Jarrett, 22 for Bryce, 22 for Anthony, 22 for Horace, 20 for Austin, 20 for Chuma, 14 for Malik, 10 for Samir, 8 for D'Angelo. If that is as balanced as it possibly could be.
That's the kind of team you don't want to play in March Madness, just to be honest with you.
That's seven guys with the number in the 20s. That's amazing.
There's no team that could have beaten that team that we like that the way we were playing the other
day. And yes, that adds up to more than 100%. But that's because
you don't have more than 5 guys on the court.
Yeah,
exactly.
It is my contention there's nobody in this tournament that could have beaten Auburn on Saturday night.
That being said, do we want to talk about Thursday?
Well,
we
can talk to it. New Mexico State, I mean, whatever.
Oh, that game.
Yeah.
They played great.
I mean, for them.
I really wanted to have a heart rate.
We were
up 8 with a minute to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The game was in the bag, right?
We win by 10 if they call a foul, though.
However, we did.
And that was basically the same situation that the Florida player on in the SEC tournament also didn't get the foul.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a very similar guys crashing the ball. Probably should have been
fouled. But that was at the buzzer. This was with a minute to go.
Right.
You generally call that foul with a minute to go, and you don't.
But the thing that got me was Samir missing that free throw.
Oh, Samir.
Jared missed two free throws on a technical.
Yeah, on technical foul. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was like 3 minutes left.
It was clear.
Kind of a BS
before the end of that game that we were tired.
Oh, okay.
The player yelled bullshit at the ref.
Yeah, and then did it again.
Yeah.
You gotta call it tech, and he didn't call it. And then he did it again on the way to the bench.
Call this tech on me, please.
Yeah. So,
and then Bryce Brown fouls a 3-point shooter. I mean, like, that's. You deserve to lose the game.
Jared Harper looking like he was doing an intentional foul with 15 seconds left?
Up two.
To foul out?
No, he was doing an intentional
foul. He was.
That was the most boneheaded thing I've seen Jared do since his freshman year. It was crazy. It was clear.
He knew it as soon as
What did I do? It was clear we were tired.
But then Bryce Brown fouls with the second left.
Oh, Bryce.
The guy walks through the line.
Bryce, what are you doing?
Javon McCormick looks at him and does the choke symbol. Just hands on his throat symbol at the free throw shooter.
You can't do the throat slash with your
thumb. No, but you look at him and you said, you're going to choke. Homie misses 2 out of 3 free throws. Makes 3, they win the game. Makes 2, they tie the game.
Yeah.
Makes one out of three,
and I think he was a decent free throw shooter, too. Yeah.
He misses the last one.
And they get the ball because we tipped the ball out of bounds.
Yes. There was a bit of a foul that pushed Samir into the ball. And
we tipped the ball out of bounds on Samir. Now, then they run what must have been their coach's like. He had this old dusty yellow playbook. Yes. I mean, that was a beautiful baseline out of bounds play.
There was a shove on Bryce in that play if you go back and watch it.
They don't call it not
Chief
there.
Chief is the guy that wants the fouls in every play.
I'm just saying, there were a lot of things going on at the end of this game.
It was wild. I still get ads on Twitter.
But,
yes,
week old ads.
No matter what happened, their best shooter of the game gets a wide open three and basically airballs it.
Yeah.
I accepted we were going to lose at that
point. And that's when my buddy, who's an NBA fan, tweeted, college basketball looks so hard. Because guys were just missing shots and making the wrong play.
It was clear early on in that game that we were tired.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the mental fatigue, where Jared makes that foul that you're like, brother. And Bruce was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Even Chuck. Barkley, he couldn't figure it out. They kept showing the cut-ins.
There was fatigue. I don't know that the elevation affected us that much, but definitely we were tired. We played 4 games in 4 days, and then 3 days later.
I think
later,
they had already checked out of this game with a minute ago.
That's also true.
Yeah.
It's also true. We were up 10.
When you're up 8, up
8. And then you've got, Bruce apparently, before the game, and after the game, he reiterated, that he told the team of these two games, the first one's going to be the hardest. I don't know if that now, looking back, I don't know if that's because he knew he had something for Kansas.
Man, he sure, his face, have you seen it? His face sure said he knew.
I got something for you, Bill. Or I'm if it was sure. the matchups, just, you mentioned saying matched up crazy with us.
Well, they did.
That, or if I mean, it was because, it. Hey, we played four games in four days, and now we're going to play another game.
Yeah, I wonder if he would just say that about the first game in any tournament.
Right, or if it's just tough to get off that schneid.
But also, that New Mexico State team had the 19-game winning streak going on.
Yeah, they lost 31 in January, yeah.
Yeah.
Has Auburn ever won 30 in a season?
No.
We won
29, I believe, in...
98-99?
Yeah.
Our best year ever? Any metric, 98-99 is our best year ever.
I think we win out, we're right short of our all-time record.
Yeah.
Auburn is currently... it's got a really good SRS. 11th in the country in SRS. 9th in American offensive rating. Who's got a better offensive rating than us right now? Probably since March, nobody.
We're the best since the tournament started by pretty much everybody's...
since the conference tournament.
Well, I think it's all of March. Yeah. Okay. Which includes, I think, the Alabama and Tennessee games. And then the conference tournament and the national tournament.
But
can we talk about Javon McCormick in this game?
Yes, Javon.
I mean,
what a guy.
Two games in a row, if you count the SEC championship game, was a hero.
Yeah.
Like MVP of the game, hero.
Oh, he, yes.
16 points off the bench when a lot of our guys were just kind of, I mean, not playing bad, but just weren't showing
up. They should have. You got to think, he's pretty fresh. He hasn't played the minutes these guys have. He did in the game previous to this, but he, you know, in the grand scheme of things, he's fresh and ready to go.
Javon McCormick is from a very large school, high school, outside of Katy, Texas, in an unincorporated area outside of Katy, Texas.
I don't know. He claims he's
born in New Orleans. Born in New Orleans. His hometown is New Orleans. But he graduated high school.
I assume they moved with Katrina.
Probably. And he went to Lee Junior College, which I had never heard of. And I keep up.
I thought that was in Kansas, actually. Lee Junior College. There may be one in Kansas.
Probably is one in a lot of states.
Yeah.
Named obviously after David Lee, the former Golden State Warriors. Great.
Oh, I was thinking about David Lee Roth.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Not the former Florida and Golden State Warrior, David Lee. So, guys, what if we win? What if we win? Friday. Let's just start. What if we win?
So
Friday?
Let's transition. We have the best offense in March, correct? But we're about to play
the best offense all year.
Yeah. So
the best offense, the best rebounding team.
That's the second best
in assists.
So the rebounding thing is the one that scares me really.
Yeah, that's the thing. Both of these games that we just played, we got out-rebounded by a lot.
Well, Mexico State was one of the better rebounding teams in America.
But even Kansas.
You're going to get out-rebounded a lot when you make all your shots, too, though.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting any offensive rebounds because you're making all your shots.
Apparently, we don't do that anyway.
We are a terrible offensive rebounding team.
Oh, yeah. One of the worst.
They have, Ryan has here on our show notes, Carolina has started the same starting five for every game but one.
Yeah, there was one game where I think Nasir Little started a game.
Nasir Little could flat out play.
And he's a bench guy.
I know. This is like when Roy had Marvin Williams on his bench in that national championship when they had Rashad McCants and Sean May, and their best draft pick was Marvin Williams at the bench. Sorry. And the only reason he was their best draft pick is because the Atlanta Hawks drafted him over Chris Paul.
That was smart.
Classic Hawks.
Oh, Hawks.
Anyway. You're Zion, right?
Are you a big Hawks guy?
I'm an Atlanta guy, so I enjoy it when the Hawks do well, but I've got too many teams to keep up with.
Well, my first Little League team were the Hawks, so I always liked Dominique and the Hawks when I was a kid.
Little League baseball team was the Hawks?
No, Little League.
Oh, basketball. I was like, basketball. I don't get this.
No, Little League basketball.
He was Dominique left fielder, right?
Yeah.
Dominique could probably play center field. Oh. Cameron Johnson, team leader in almost every stand, because Cameron Johnson can flat out
not,
play.
Like you said, not a top 100 recruit, Cameron Johnson.
Is he the one that will...
That's wild.
Pitt and then transfer?
I don't know.
One of these guys did.
He got 25 PER. That's big. That is big.
He's the team leader in PER, win shares per 40, BPM.
Like so
every advance.
And their starting forward went to Auburn High. He's an Auburn High Tiger. How did he get out of town?
Auburn High people don't go to Auburn.
Especially when North Carolina's calling.
That's probably true. It's kind of like if Bryce had been offered by Kentucky.
Just think about all the guys that went to Auburn High that have come here to play football. Like none.
Right.
They all go elsewhere.
Backup kicker Sage Ledbetter.
Oh, sorry, Sage.
Sage.
Now, we do get a lot of baseball players.
Field goal in high school history. It's like 65 yards.
I wish I'd known we had a guy that was going to go to North Carolina on our basketball team. I'd have got to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Team is turnover prone and only average at the perimeter defense. So guys,
that's where we have
these are the things that we exploit and are good at. So
I don't care how good their box plus minus is. If they don't get the ball across the three-point line, we're going to win.
The analysis I got from I got a friend who's a big Duke fan and big ACC fan in general, and he's talked about how he's loved watching this North Carolina team play. And he said that when he was describing them to me, I was like, this sounds like Auburn.
Exactly. They play like Auburn. Fast.
Yeah.
He was like, I've never seen a team that they don't need turnovers to get a fast break. They'll just get the ball back from you scoring, and it's a fast break.
Because what they
it's a fast break in half court, and I'm like, well, that's kind of what Auburn does.
Roy Williams runs a numbered break, which is an amazing thing to practice. This is my second reference to my classic JV girls basketball coaching days. Numbered break is an amazing thing. So basically, you give everybody a number, and then they have a lane. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very like basic.
Yeah.
But if your team is disciplined in running it, it is deadly.
Yeah.
Because you've always got the right spacing. Auburn does some number breaks too, but Roy has done it since he didn't do it in the Sean May years. But a couple of years ago he started deciding that we're going to be the fastest team in college basketball. And the ball goes through the hoop and they are throwing that thing in and getting it down court as fast as they can, as if it was a turnover.
Yeah. They create their own transitions. Which Auburn does that too.
True. We do have a tendency though of walking the ball across half court.
Yeah, our
is wild.
It's the worst. Our press break is the worst. Jared, it's like nobody. Everybody's like, nope. Jared has to have the ball across the court.
Jared though is that there are times where he will. He did it against Kansas. They'll try to trap him, and he will split trap. And now. We are in business.
There's two guys sitting back here that we're
playing 5-on-3, and this is about to be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, we did that against Kansas a lot the other night.
They couldn't get him in the trap. Where against New Mexico State, when they pressed, you're right. It was like he passed to Chuma, back to Jared. Now we're trapped again. He couldn't break it, so we're back. And now we're trying to get some awful shot there late in the game.
Chuma's trapped with three guys in the middle of the court, and he throws it out of bounds because they didn't get him. Anyway,
all right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and do a little more preview and talk a little baseball.
Is it really football without a tailgate party? I don't think so. Hi, I'm Scott Armstrong of Champs Chicken and Beeline Foods. Let us do the cooking for your game day get-together. Delicious Champs Chicken is always a crowd pleaser. And with Beeline Foods' great selection of tasty snacks and ice-cold drinks, including our awesome craft beer selection, we're your one-stop tailgating shop. Champs Chicken and Beeline Foods. Fuel up, eat, drink, and think like a champ. Opelika Road, next to Auburn Furniture.
All right, we're back. That was a great message from Champs Chicken.
And now we're going to do Champs and Chumps.
And we're going to do Champs and Chumps. And Ryan, who do you have for Champ of the Week?
It's pretty easy. We just won a round of 32 game. My champ is Javon McCormick. As we already talked about, 16 points off the bench when we really, in the New Mexico State game.
Yeah.
We really needed it.
Yeah.
Played those final minutes after Jared, or final seconds that were 30 minutes long after Jared fouled out. He has stepped up from what we talked about him in the preseason as the ghost man from Texas.
Yeah.
We couldn't find any stats.
We couldn't find a YouTube video of him.
Right. And now he's an integral part of this team.
Yeah.
And he's my champ.
He was awesome, man.
He's stepped it up.
Him looking and doing the choke sign made him almost okay. The fact that he's from Southeast Texas, on top of just being one of those like shortest nails, the toughest to bend type kids, where he's just not very big, but he's tough as nails.
He is fast.
And he's so fast. Tatted up, and then doing that, it was like Allen Iverson's on our team all of a sudden. I was just really excited that he had gone to Auburn, not Georgetown.
Shocking it wasn't Malik that did that.
Well, at least I think a nice guy.
Oh, he's a nice guy.
I don't think Javon's a nice guy. I think he's probably a good dude, but I don't think he's a nice guy. By any means. Champ of the week, I got Bryce Brown. A lot of people were talking about in the group chat about how Bryce didn't have a great game against New Mexico State offensively.
He had
2 of 8 from 3.
So. Amazing game.
Yeah. And who was it? Nerd. AU Nerd was like, I expect Bryce Brown to go off.
Nerd called it.
Because he really didn't have a good tournament last year either.
No.
So it was kind of like, Bryce, like, look, if I'm going out, I'm going out firing.
I got to, just while we're on that, I would feel a lot better if we were playing North Carolina in our second game on this court.
Okay.
Being our first game on the court, never played on it before.
Shooter's eye.
Yeah.
Well, they're going out Wednesday. So you would think so they'd get some practice in.
They'd get some practice in. It's just still, it's not the same as shooting the line on the court.
I mean, for sure.
I think that had a lot to do with why we shot better the second game. But anyway, Bryce Brown was amazing. You were right.
Bryce Brown, man. And then we also have on here Sean Shivers because he won the 200 meter dash.
Yeah. 200, won the gold in the 200 meter in the Florida State relays. Finished it in 21 seconds.
Blazing.
Flat.
It's pretty good.
Blazing.
Pretty good.
That's 2 Bryce Brown threes. He can get that in 21 seconds easily.
So, just a little football take here. You saw Sean Shivers and Anthony Schwartz are actually not going through spring practice this year.
Really?
Because they're running track.
Oh, well.
Winning track, apparently.
That's fine.
Let me tell you what, who doesn't really need spring practice?
Bo Jackson?
Yeah, and
Sean Shivers is Bo Jackson?
Your super receiver.
Gifted, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what Sean Shivers need to know? What does Anthony Schwartz need to practice? No. He has, like, a couple skills. Both of them are not going to need spring practice.
He's not going to get faster.
No.
From doing spring practice.
He's not going to be faster. He has a couple routes. They let him run. They aren't hard.
I mean, run that way.
The end around. Unless Eli Stove. Oh, no. I'm giving this up for a limb.
I got 2. One is Crow for his amazing song.
No, that means a lot. I've never been to
Just so you guys know, this song has had more listens than all of our podcasts.
No one is surprised by that.
No, nobody wants us to listen to us for an hour and a half every week. I mean, that's just a fact. My other one is Horace Spencer's defense.
Yeah.
In the Kansas game.
Not the offense.
Which leads us into our chumps of the week is Horace Spencer's offense.
Yeah, in that game. He forgot how to catch the ball.
If you're listening to Horace, I love you.
So. We love you, dude.
I felt kind of bad because we were all there Sunday when the team got back Kansas, from Salt Lake City. And
am I the chump of the week?
No.
Is this the story? Everybody's
taking pictures with the players, saying hello, you know, thanking them for a great weekend. And I saw Horace. Somebody gave Horace their baby.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, they probably didn't see him play because he's got a little butterfingers right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. Come on.
I felt bad for thinking it, but I couldn't help.
I thought he was looking at me, and I went in for a high five and got left hanging pretty hard. It was pretty embarrassing.
I got to tell Marquis Daniels how much he meant to me as a Mavericks player. That was a huge thing. You think for me. But more importantly, we got to see the whole team, and like, it was awesome.
It was cool.
Well, the crazy thing was it was mostly not students. It was mostly like young families with babies. Yeah.
I wish I brought my
an old
my
man.
Kid was napping. I really wish I brought him. He would have enjoyed it.
There were old men watching the baseball game on an iPad.
There's a guy that he was like, "Who's that right there?" And he was talking about Horace, and I was like, "Oh, that's Horace." He's like, "Spencer, oh man, man, can you believe this? This is so good." And I was like, "Yes, sir, I love it."
Can you believe it?
I mean, this guy was really old, so he saw us when we were good in the 80s, but
he's probably looking at that guy going, "Look, I don't know what they look like. I can hardly see him on the TV."
But yeah, it was cool. It was a really big crowd. It was bigger. Seeing the videos of it, it was actually bigger than I even realized.
Yeah, even in the videos, though, you couldn't see half of the people that were there. Yeah.
It was cool. That was really cool. So those people are not chumps.
No. We got Stormy Daniels lawyer, Avenatti, as
creepy
chump of the
porn
week.
Lawyer, Michael Avenatti.
You know, it turns out, not a good dude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knew?
Like, I don't know. I didn't see that coming at all.
This was the other Twitter story.
Pun intended.
We've got Jared.
This is how the day started.
This was how the day started, and it was, "Hey, I've got this bombshell about Nike. I got a press conference tomorrow." The next thing I know, 20 minutes later, he's been arrested. Talk about blackmail.
Talk about bad days. This guy had a bad day.
He asked Nike for $20 million, and Nike said, oh, yeah, call us back with exactly what you're wanting us to do. The Department of Justice is listening. Don't worry about it.
Turns out he's also a bad lawyer.
Yeah. The best tweet I saw was an attorney said, free tip, if you are going to do a crime and someone says, hey, real quick, can you call me back and explain exactly what crime you're going to do? Do not talk to that person ever again.
The best part of this was after he had been arrested, I think it was another hour later or so, it's like, yeah, there's also some charges in California totally unrelated.
Also charged in the L.A. district.
Embezzling and all this other kind of stuff.
Along with Mark Garagos.
But am I a bad person that really wants him to have like a scheduled tweet that has the full Nike stuff and just go with that tomorrow at 11? Oh, man, I want it so bad. I just want to know. I want to know that Coach K is paying guys thousands of dollars.
All the Nike schools are going under. The Under Armour schools are totally legit. I mean,
allegedly. Allegedly, Zion was offered a bunch of money somewhere, and he went to Duke, so.
Well.
Cecil Newton. Anyway, Auburn baseball. Those old men were watching the baseball game. Auburn baseball won 2 out of 3 to a really good.
No, they didn't.
Sorry, lost 2 out of 3. Misread that. To a really good state team. Number 2 in America. Oh, Ryan's Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Yeah.
The team was like a professional baseball stadium, just about.
Yeah.
Our good friend Drew McCracken was there this weekend, taking in the sights.
The other Drew.
The other Drew.
It was kind of a bummer.
It started out great.
I think there may have been a bit of a miscalculation on our rotation.
We're missing 2 of our 3 starters.
We are, but I feel like maybe we should have. Instead of going with a Sunday weird, because everybody's lineup's usually kind of weird on Sunday. But going in, we were told by one Drew McCracken that he was told by Mississippi State folks that their Sunday rotation was a mess, like complete mess. They expect us to win. So maybe we should have put more eggs in that basket instead of trying to win on.
Just give away the Saturday game?
I know that's a hindsight thing. You can't really do that. But it does seem that maybe that should have been the case where we – we're like, okay, if we get into trouble here, we just let it go and then throw everything we can at the next day. Instead, we scored 15 runs and lost on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which is not good. But that was a really good state team. They're number 2 in one of the polls, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of the best teams in the country. They're one of the best programs in the country.
And we got a win on the road. We're still 4-2 in the SEC. So
it is not a sad thing to take one from Mississippi State.
And we scored 15 runs in a game that we lost, so that's pretty good.
And that Friday game, I mean, props to Tanner Burns.
Yeah.
He gave up 4 runs in the first inning, settled down, threw 4 more scoreless.
Yeah.
Gave us a chance to get back into it, and we ended up taking the lead in the 8th inning, stealing the one there, winning 6-5.
Yeah. There's another team in Starkville this weekend as well that actually they won their series, but we're not going to talk about that. Right?
Sure.
Okay.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically
speaking. And then one more champ of the week. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. Paul Ellen called the baseball game solo.
Oh, yeah. The solo Paul Ellen.
Marathon 4-hour games.
You know, solo bolo.
Because Rod was in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. And,
called these games on his own.
And the Andy Burch and the Sycamore was on the TV, I assume. So.
You know how hard that would be to call a baseball game
4-hour baseball.
You know what? 4 hours.
Let's give a shout out to women's basketball as well. They made the tournament.
As a concept?
Year. Yeah.
Oh, the Auburn.
He's already done that as a concept.
Yeah.
They made the tournament. They did lose their first game, but they made the tournament, which is great. As a 10 seed. They were on the bubble, and they made it in. And that's 2 years in a row they've made the tournament.
Last year was like their down year.
Okay. They made the tournament. That's right.
They were rebuilding.
Coach Flo's got a good program, though.
Yeah, I like it.
They were young last year, and that is an improved squad.
Yeah.
And a really good conference. And I think that the recruiting class is also really good, from what I understand. So they could be
Weren't
forced next year.
2 of the 1 seed? No. I think we only have 1 of the 1 seeds. Was SEC, but
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. Yeah.
South Carolina was not a 1 seed.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's almost always UConn, Notre Dame.
UConn was not.
UConn was not.
UConn was a 2, and their first round game they won by 60.
They lost a game this year, I feel like.
Yeah. They won their first round game by 60 points. Who says, like, this is why we should be a 1 seed, guys.
Got to give some people a chance.
Are there any rumors that Bama basketball is going to be going after Geno? That seems like
that's a really good idea.
Why not?
I mean,
Why would he go to Alabama? He hates Millennials.
he hates everyone. So
that's great. He just likes Saban.
Well, they won't have Millennials on their team.
That's true. Gino, man, do not like that guy. Like, really don't like him.
He is an excellent coach, though.
I think he's a bad person. Probably. My problem with him.
Probably.
And he loves a press conference where he can talk about how I won't recruit a kid if he's not blah, 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 blah. Cheat. Well, you know what? You don't recruit. You're UConn. You just say, hey, you don't want to come play for
the best team
in 6 years?
Yeah, best players in the country. You want to come?
Yeah, you're right. He really needs the kids that are like diamonds in the rough. And he works them. Oh, wait, you have the top five kids every year? Awesome.
Must be nice.
They get what Duke got this year every year.
Every year. Here's what I don't like about Duke is that Duke's not supposed to get these kids. Those kids go to Kentucky, Carolina. But all of a sudden, Zion has changed the narrative of what a Duke player is.
They started doing this a few years ago, though.
Yeah, you know what it coincided with? All of a sudden?
I don't know.
You know exactly what it is. All of a sudden, Coach K becomes the coach of Team USA basketball. And next thing you know, he's hanging out with LeBron, hanging out with the cool guys.
Let me cue up the cereal.
Hanging out with the cool kids. And then he's getting to talk to the Team USA U18s, the Team USA U16s. And having LeBron walk in with him. Guess what? That's not a recruiting violation if you're the USA men's basketball coach. Mm-hmm. It is if you're literally anybody else.
Yeah.
All right. No, it's the cool kids. They should not let college coaches be the USA men's basketball coach. That's a joke.
No, it should be Jeff Van Gundy.
It's Greg Popovich, thank God, for the summers coming up. And Jeff Van Gundy.
I think it's just
right
Jeff,
now.
Just Jeff Van Gundy.
If Alabama hires Jeff, you said that, Ryan, and I almost like lost sleep. Because if they hire, that'd be a great hire. It'd be a great hire to get Van Gundy. He can flat out coach. He is the opposite of what
John Starks would be on the bench with him. You think he'd
just fight Jeff Van Gundy on grabbing somebody's leg, just keep him from fighting Larry Johnson?
Man,
the NBA was wilding out.
It was.
When he was the coach of the Knicks.
It was
wilding out. Anyway, guys, that's 15 minutes of this podcast.
Yeah,
I think we did really well.
I just like to bask in the glory.
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16.
Oh, I did want to mention, I'm sure there's somebody out there that wants to hear about it. Crow, you don't have to talk about
Chiefs
it.
Chiefs car corner.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I thought we were doing that.
No, we had a, I am trying to sell my car. 2008 Grand Prix, 117,000 miles on it. I want 55. I don't know what I'll take for it, but you know.
$55?
No, $5,500.
Okay.
Yeah. Both are in the middle.
So, spring practice is going on right now. How lucky is football right now? How lucky is Gus Malzahn? You know he is loving the zero attention that is being paid to spring practice right now. There's
and
no
it's one
attention.
Of the
being
biggest
paid.
Springs of his career.
Yeah. And all the beat writers were in Salt Lake City. Nobody cared.
They're in Kansas City this weekend.
Does anybody even care? If you do care, reports out of practice have been that Joey G.
Yeah.
Well, Joey Gatewood's showing out. He and Bo have apparently been the best, which is
it's because they're not giving Cord reps. That's why.
They're resting him for the season.
Yeah, you're right. You got to keep that arm fresh.
But Joey G's apparently been stepping it up. Joey Gatewood. So I don't know.
Do you know if they're letting him go into contact in the spring?
No,
with like four quarterbacks. I mean, this is something they did back in 2013.
Maybe
when you had Jeremy.
The first scrimmage is sometime soon. They went full pads on Saturday, I believe.
Okay.
Which basically no one knows because there's more important things going on. But, I hear that he's been doing good, so maybe that's the guy.
Yeah, I heard that.
The thing
Seth
I've heard
Williams
is,
has been showing off again, too.
Yes.
That would be a fun combo, just having Joey Gatewood and Seth Williams together.
Well, what I've, the main takeaway I've seen is that Gatewood has shown a level of maturity. He stepped it up in a level in maturity and focus this year is what...
Hopefully, no breaking fingers because he was trying to catch balls off the machine.
Yeah. Weird. I think that's enough football for one day.
That's enough orange and true for 1 week.
Too sweet.
Too sweet. Next time we talk to you, we'll be in the Final Four.
No, come on.
Well, we may get an extra special episode.
We're coming back.
I gotta come up with two more songs.
Well, your song's definitely gonna be on CBS broadcast this weekend, so good luck.
Well, if you hear that, just know I died.
Guys, if you hear our song, or not our song, our Crow song anywhere else.
The official song of the Orange and True podcast.
We wanna know about it.
Man. And also, listen up for the Iron Man of Golf. We're going to be putting that on the website, the account. It's going to be IronManOrangeAndTrue.com. All one word. IronManOrangeAndTrue.com. You come in, you donate, give a dollar a hole. Ryan, me, maybe Chief, some other people are going to come up and try to play 100 holes of golf, either each or combined. But don't worry, just you keep giving cash. We will keep playing golf.
I can putt pretty good.
Come on up. You can drive the golf cart.
I can.
There you go.
Chief, going to be our cart girl?
Yeah. April 22nd, if you want to come drive a cart, come on up. You got to donate $100 and you can drive one of our carts.
Indian Pines. We're gonna leave
at Indian Pines in Auburn, Alabama.
Okay.
In Opelika, technically, which is really weird.
Is it really?
Well, it's maybe part, halfway in, halfway out, yeah. I think. Something like that. No, it's not. It's in Auburn. T-shirts. We got T-shirts.
T-shirts online.
They're only for sale like in a day.
Oh, I got to get in on that.
Yeah. They're for sale forever, I think.
I saw only 2 days left when I wore mine
what?
Today. Yeah.
Maybe it's just extend that. Maybe it's just a marketing scheme.
Guys, here's the
thing. No, it's ended. It says campaign.
Here's the thing, guys. If you keep buying stuff from us, then we can make other stuff like koozies.
Yeah, we really want to put out some koozies.
Yeah, we really do.
This thing has got to sustain itself, though. We're not just going to put up all the money.
Yeah, no, if you want to sponsor us, you know,
that's great.
Send us a tweet.
Look, we've got Auburn's hottest hit maker.
It's right here. Teespring.com/Auburn-is-basketball-school-enter.
Or how about you just check out the Twitter of one of us, and we'll have it there.
$20, buy a t-shirt.
Okay.
All right. And guys, like I always say, keep buying t-shirts.
Is it really football without a tailgate party? I don't think so. Hi, I'm Scott Armstrong of Champs Chicken and Beeline Foods. Let us do the cooking for your game day get-together. Delicious Champs Chicken is always a crowd pleaser. And with Beeline Foods' great selection of tasty snacks and ice-cold drinks, including our awesome craft beer selection, we're your one-stop tailgating shop. Champs Chicken and Beeline Foods. Fuel up, eat, drink, and think like a champ. Opelika Road, next to Auburn Furniture.